Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Well, I want to turn now on to a more serious note. And the whole week, well, not the whole week, but since about Wednesday when the fires started, we have been covering the fires in Israel. But the question remains, were they started by nature or is it something much darker? Several arrests have been made in connection with suspected arson. Eli Beer, the president of the United Hatzolah Emergency Response Organization, earlier said that this was a terror attack on Israel. He noted that fires were started in 20 separate locations. Now, I don't know how many of you have seen this, but if you haven't, and it's interesting for you, go online. There is a map circulating that depicts the locations of the fires. And you'll notice that almost all of them are marked on the Israeli side of the Green Line, separating the West Bank from Israel and Gaza, not in the areas inhabited by Palestinians. So number one, if we're going to say, well, they just started spontaneously and it was nature that caused them, the question remains, why did they happen only in areas where Israelis live? And secondly, Hamas posted on social media a call for Palestinians in the West Bank and Israel to burn whatever they can of groves, forests, and settler homes and set cars ablaze. Now, this morning, we are joined by Dr. Mitchell Barak, who is the senior researcher at the Institute for Counterterrorism. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us here on the Morning Mayhem. Regardless of how the fires were started, do you think Israel until now has underestimated how serious fires can be as a form of terror?
So good morning and thanks for having me. Yes, certainly Israel underestimated these phenomena. Especially in hot seasons, there are people who like to increase the security situation. This is not something new. This is something that Israel was witness long time ago. It's not only in Israel. It's also, we can see like arson in Australia and the America. Maybe I should mention to the audience, there is the terrorist like to use a term, the jihad of the forests. Like there are many, let's say that Al-Qaeda and ISIS especially, they justify arson and lighting, torching the forest in the name of damaging the economy of the enemy and creating panic and terror. There are manuals, which is called, for example, Inspire, an English magazine that is serving as the mouthpiece of Al-Qaeda. It's not a problem to find it on the internet. And some of these manuals and magazines are being reached by those, for example, Palestinians. This is you can find in this magazine instructions how to torch a forest. For example, you have to follow after the weather and to see if there is now a hot season. They also give other recommendations, like if the forest is nearby a building house, it's better to torch it. In all of that, in the name of weaken the enemy, that is a strength to make him lose money, to invest money in, for example, developing tools to cope with this phenomena, and et cetera, and et cetera. And they justify it in religious means. They said, for example, that Prophet Muhammad, he chopped trees, palm trees of the Jews in Medina, in order, because they were the enemy of the Prophet Muhammad. So this is their religious justifications for today to make damage to the enemy. So definitely this term, Jihad of the Forest, is well known for these terrorists. And those Palestinians, actually, it's not only spontaneously torching flames that were in Israel. It was also deliberately, purpose. And Israel must take a severe measures to cope with these phenomena, to arrest, to make sure that these people who torch the forest will sit a long time inside the jail.
Doctor, so I wanted to ask you about that. You talk about the jihad of the forest. Should Israel be treating the perpetrators of the jihad of the forest the same way that Israel treats those who fire rockets or conduct shootings?
Definitely, definitely. With the enforcement, the Israeli informants, like in other places, like in Australia, United States, should be involved and more active and will take more severe measures against those terrorists. This is a terrorist for everything. Like if you are going to destroy a nature and to cause to this panic and you aim to damage the economy of Israel, especially in this symbolic name, the Independence Day and the Memorial Day, yes, definitely those terrorists not only should sit inside the jail for a long time, but their property also should be taken by confiscated by the Israeli government. There are, should be more severe
punishment
rules. Yes, punishment against them.
The difficulty here, though, is that the perpetrators are inside Israel. They don't need to cross, for example, from Gaza. And secondly, what they need to start a fire is easily available. So how do police and security forces actually prevent this fire terrorism from happening?
So, okay, so first of all, we're talking about the prevention. Okay, prevention measures. So there should be like a coordination between the police, the firefighters, and the army, IDF, to collect intelligence on specific people if they are dangerous. Most of the time, we don't have intelligence on specific people who can be a threat to the security of the public. So when there is, for example, a hot season, I think that there should be more volunteers, even civilians that will cooperate with the police, that will make tours and will make sure that there are no someone suspicion that can torch now a fire. We need more volunteers, also detection and sensors that can be in specific places in forest. Drones can be in times of hot seasons, drones 24/7 as long as it needed, that today will try to track any suspicious movement. It's very difficult to capture, but it's possible. You know, also cooperation with the civilian society is important. Now, if a family knows about the intentions of one of its relatives to go to the forest and torch it, the police should also call it. Now, the police should cooperate with this. With the civilian society. It's very difficult, but it's possible. It will take time.
Doctor, the fact that it happened, and reports suggest this is the worst fire in 10 years, suggests that Israel isn't prepared and doesn't have in place all the suggestions you mention. Why is Israel not prepared?
I think it's a culture. It's people... Unfortunately, when only something bad happens, then people get reminded that they have to cope with this phenomena. So Israel needs, of course, to make preparation in advance to make sure that that it will be prepared for such tragedies.
I think that this could be the start of a new phase in how Israel is targeted, more environmental, less obvious.
I hope so. It's not an easy answer now to give. Like, it depends on the politicians, but if there will be a public stress pressure on the government, on decision makers, to make sure that they will take special
but do you think,
measures to cope with that, then yes.
Do you think we will right see now, more of this, though? My question is more, is fire terrorism going to become more prevalent? Is it going to become more in the future?
What?
Fire, arson? Terrorism and arson, yes.
I hope not. It depends on, Israel also have to make asbara to public relations about, for example, to find the religious justification in the Islam that torching forest is forbidden. To cooperate with the civilian society. Aspara is very important, public relations, and more police, and as I mentioned, and volunteers in the area, in the forest, specifically in hot seasons, to make sure that no one will do such a horrible thing.
Doctor, we need to
see what happened. I don't know.
We need to leave it there, but I did learn a new term from you, jihad of the forest, and the term fire terrorism is also something that not many of us were familiar with, but certainly we'll pay more attention to now. That's Dr. Michael Baruch, a senior researcher at the Institute for Counterterrorism. Thank you so much for joining us here on High FM.